Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Barzola, working with the new shadow. We're nearing the end of 2009, and today on December 29th, some interesting birthdays, deaths, and events that happened. For those of you who are like bicycling, it turns out that Daimler, the guy who invented Mercedes-Benz, was connected to it. In 1885, he patented the first bicycle. Those of you who like bowling balls and bowling, 1862, the bowling ball was invented. And those of us who used to go, everybody, all the males anyway, used to go to the YMCA in 1851. The first one opened in Boston. And in 1848, the first gas lights were installed in the White House. President James K. Polk was president at the time. And, of course, he acquired a big chunk of the West Coast, California, New Mexico, Arizona, and Texas. And, of course, we wish there were better lights or enlightened people in the White House today, those of us who are cynical. And today's birthday, interesting birthdays, Tom Bradley, a guy who came from black who came from Texas, a real class act in California politics. He worked his way up from patrolman to mayor of Los Angeles, the first black mayor of a major city in the United States. Richard Hatcher was the first black mayor of a northern city in, of all places, Gary, Indiana. And then Bradley was the first serious black candidate to run for California governor. And he lost to Duke Majan, who was attorney general. Kind of conservative or conservative. And Bradley also, I think, went to law school at night, like several policemen. Surprising, the number of guys who do go to law school or go on. They're not a bunch of club-carrying dummies, these guys. And today, also, those of you who remember the famous movie Something of Value about the Mau Maus, Robert Rourke was born. And in 1879, for those of us who like military history, General Billy Mitchell was born, and of course, he was the guy who was preaching air power would sink ships, and he proved it after World War I when one of the German Navy ships, the Ostfriesland, was sunk by a fleet of Billy Mitchell's bombers. The Navy's admirals, the battleship admirals, were furious and said it couldn't be done, and they rigged a situation where he got into conflict with the commander-in-chief, who was Coolidge at the time. And there was a court-martial in which he was court-martialed. Famous movie starring Gary Cooper and Rod Steiger, when he wasn't playing Al Capone, he played the prosecutor. And, of course, Mitchell Field in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is named after him. And the Mitchell bomber, the B-25, is named after Billy Mitchell. He was vindicated after he died. Or during World War II, because he also predicted Pearl Harbor and the Japanese expansionism in the Far East. And, a lot of things that the B-25 bomber also was used by General Doolittle to bomb Tokyo, the first successful bombing. It did little damage physically, but a lot of damage propaganda-wise. And in 1876 is the birthday of the great Spanish cellist, one of the greatest in the world, Pablo Casals, and he was a vehement critic of General Franco, who was a conservative monarchist, but he used the fascists and the Falange in Spain to reorganize the country and strict conservative lines. with the church, Catholic Church, as an ally. And Casals was also a composer, but he would never perform in Spain as long as Franco was the El Caído, or the dictator. And then Albert Pike, one of the founders, he was a Confederate general, he was one of the founders of the Ku Klux Klan. He was born today. And then William Gladstone, one of the great prime ministers of England, who was, quote, a true liberal, he was born today. And Andrew Johnson, the president who was almost impeached, removed from office, saved by one vote. Famous movie, came out during World War II at the beginning of the war, called Tennessee Johnson, if you can see it. It's on VHS. We have a library copy in the Verzola Archives. And it starred Van Heflin. Great movie. I highly recommend it. And Andrew Johnson was the only president to come back to the Senate. He was a senator and general. Lincoln appointed him a general to serve in the U.S. Senate after he left the White House. Those of you who follow the web, oh, yeah, today is Harold Macmillan's birthday, and he, part of that Churchill crowd, served in World War I, served in the Churchill cabinet, and then was prime minister, and there were some scandals. Great friend of the Kennedys. Also, it's the Paul Whiteman. I think he was born today. He was the guy that made famous George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. It's still a classic recording for those of you who like classical music and Gershwin. And then, he died today, excuse me. And then 1916, the dissolute monk who brought down the Russian monarchy, the Romanovs, Grigory Rasputin was murdered or assassinated, depending on how you look at it. And a couple of movies have come out about him. We've talked about him in the past. And it's the only movie in which one of the characters depicted in it, one of the princes, Romanov princes, who was allegedly bisexual, and he claimed that he was slandered and libeled in the film. He sued MGM, and he settled out of court. And also, for those of us who follow Catholic Church's politics and prelates, Thomas a Becket was assassinated in Canterbury Cathedral. Great movie starring Richard Burton as Becket, that's the name of the movie, and Peter O'Toole as Henry II. And it's part of that trilogy, Lion in Winter, with Peter O'Toole and Katharine Hepburn. Great movie, highly recommend it. So if you can get a chance, it should be on VHS at this time. Those of you who have been following the web, Max Baucus, the senior senator from Montana, was on I believe YouTube, and he was giving. We could speak charitably. He looked tipsy, but a lot of people are saying he was dead drunk. And irrational, rambling, illogical in his statements, very repetitive, like a drunk who was stopped by the cops. He got up on the Senate floor, and even his fellow senators were trying to shut him up and get him off the lectern or get him off of the floor so he wouldn't further embarrass himself, to say nothing of the U.S. Senate. At least he didn't throw wine bottles or did what the Speaker of the House, Carl Albert, got drunk and was chasing Fannie Fox around the fountain in front of, I think, the House of Representatives. Of course, that's much more interesting than a drunken senator, I guess. But some interesting things have emerged about Baucus. He was recently, one of the scandals involving him was he divorced his wife or was estranged from his wife. They have one child. And he had a live-in girlfriend who was also an aide, gave her a big increase in salary, like $15,000 a year, then tried to get her appointed U.S. attorney for the state of for the District of Montana. There's only one U.S. attorney because the state's so small, and that erupted in his face. And then it comes out that of all the congressmen and senators, Max Baucus has received the most money from the insurance industry and all the related companies that make medical supplies, pharmaceuticals, hospitals, and so he got 4 cents out of every dime in campaign contributions. I think that's the statistics they gave. And so this is just coming out, and he's even being attacked by such radical left-wing programs such as Amy Goodwin's Democracy Now. Of course, they're mad because he blocked admission to the proponents of a single-payer health premium program, and they weren't allowed in the meetings, and so they're PO'd at him. And he's been. Then it came out that a reporter, guy appears to have ethics, investigated his campaign finances and found out that Max Baucus received more money from the health industry and all the related subsidiaries and associations than any other congressman or woman. The other person, who Senator Dodd, who ought to be, who should be politically dead in the next election, his wife was on the board of one of these entities, and she's received over $200,000 a year. And let's see who else. There was, and then they're claiming Senator Grassley was involved. Also came up something interesting about Baucus. He's a member of the United Church of Christ, which is, some people consider it a sect, but it's very interesting who are his fellow congregants. you're going to love this. John Corzine, who's just been ousted as governor of New Jersey, he was also involved with Goldman Sachs before all the scandals broke. We have Dr. Howard Dean, former governor of Vermont, medical doctor, and he's the one who said that the Democrats and Congress who are pushing Obamacare should scrap the whole thing and start fresh. And there's Jim Douglas, who is the governor of Vermont. He's also a United Church of Christer. Bob Grand, senator from Florida. I think he's involved in the health care controversy. I think he's a Democrat. Judd Gregg, who has many investments, senator from New Hampshire. Jim Jeffords, who claimed to be an independent, former senator from Vermont. George Smathers, from senator, he's dead now, Florida, a great friend of the Kennedys. And, of course, Barack Obama. And Jeremiah Wright, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright in Chicago, who claimed to be Obama's pastor. Incidentally, people have been asking you questions. Did Obama or any of his immediate family attend any church on Christmas? So that's come up, and people still think that he's a closet Muslim, so you'll have to resolve that one. And it eventually will come out, I think. Even the Democratic Party people that I know are just totally appalled at what he has done and consider him an amateur, as people have said, even when he ran for office, ran for the U.S. Senate, because he did nothing in the House of Representatives in Illinois, and when he ran for president. And, of course, he's beholden to so many people. And some people really think that it's people like Axelrod, a journalist or newsman who worked for the Chicago Tribune, who suddenly has become very rich. And also, that paper used to be owned by Colonel Robert McCormick of the McCormick Reaper family. They also had a reporter named Lingle, who never wrote anything, but he was connected to Al Capone, and he was murdered in the Illinois Central train station. And you can see that depicted accurately in the movie Al Capone with Rod Steiger and Robert Stack. And Lingle was buried in what is known as the Boot Hill Catholic Cemetery, Mount Carmel, where they separated the archbishops and priests and other religious figures from the gangsters. Al Capone is also buried there. Since we're in a holiday season, we're doing something on sushi. It'll be up on our YouTube site, YouTube Amicus Veritas. Go there. We're exposing these green meters. There's a lot of questions about these things, which are going to be mandatorily installed in every household in California, and I understand in other states. And so that'll be up. But since this is the holiday season and there's going to be a lot of partying, or not as much this year, or there'll be less of it and less drinking. But one of the things today that we were going to talk about was, what did Frank Sinatra and a Russian diplomat share in common? Well, those of you who don't know, who remember Frank Sinatra singing, he's dead now. He learned his musical phrasing. He was in the Tommy Dorsey band as a singer, and he would watch the Dorsey brothers, or Tommy Dorsey, I think he played the trombone, what we call musical phrasing, and was unique what Dorsey did. But also, Sinatra preserved his voice by eating spinach with olive oil. Now, being from New Jersey and in the East, those people back East don't get a lot of fresh fruit and vegetables. So he was eating canned spinach every day with olive oil on it, and it helped his voice. Now, when I was a correspondent in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, I met a lot of Russians, and some were, I suspect, I could almost swear, were KGB. But anyway, one of the Russian diplomats, we were talking, and he was watching his drinking, and it turns out that before he would go to a reception, he would drink a small cup of olive oil to coat his stomach. And he wouldn't down a whole bottle of vodka. But he claimed, and I think I do that, and I've told other people you might want to try that to coat your stomach before you go drinking. But again, don't drink to excess, and don't get caught driving. If you have it on your breath and they catch you with a breathalyzer, which are, some of these devices are controversial, but it could cost you a lot of trouble. And of course, you don't want to injure or kill anybody because your auto insurance rates will go up. That's a subject we're going to get into. I've been studying some things about reckless driving and the effect of injuries and medical costs that are being passed on to safe drivers because of these reckless scumbags who are in their BMWs and they think that they're a reincarnation of the British and French aristocrats who used to run their horses and their carriages through the streets, and anybody got in the way, they got trampled underfoot. And they didn't move fast enough was the attitude of a lot of these people. But anyway, that's what Frank Sinatra and the Russian diplomat shared in common, olive oil. I also would recommend if you should drink water after you drink so you don't become dehydrated. And before you go to bed, take a herbal tea or a colon cleanser to clean out your system. If you still feel sick in the morning, I would recommend, depending on how you feel about hot stuff, I used to use jalapeno peppers and put them in a bowl of chili. And, of course, that would flush out my system. And I've known other people. Now, Latino people will tell you menudo works. But, again, you've got to work it on both ends, that drink moderately if you're going to go out drinking and you got to drive. But I think you should don't drink on an empty stomach, whatever you do. And, of course, know your limits. This is one thing. This is one of my bete noirs that being from part Latin background, European background, Europeans and Latins teach their children how to drink. I don't know. We still have this Puritan hangover in this country where there are people who don't drink for a lot of reasons, Mormons and the Carrie Nation nuts. But I used to joke with people and some of my Mormon friends, and I asked them, did you believe in the Bible? Do you know the wedding feast of Cana, where the Lord turned water into wine? And I said, would you have him turn the wine into Perrier or Calistoga water? So we got no answer on that one. But in Europe, in the Latin countries, they give the children, and even I think some of the Jewish, that depend on the conservative or Orthodox, give their children a little wine in water. It's not something that they indulge in at every meal or every day, but at least it teaches kids to appreciate these things that God did create that exist in nature, but not to overdo it. So there, you try those things. And if you have any other tips during this holiday season, I will bring them up. One of the questions, since we're on the health thing, is that's come up, and San Francisco Chronicle ran a brief article on community health clinics. Now, this is not talked about. I don't understand these media people unless there's some collaboration to end the funding, the $9 billion that's allocated for community health clinics across all of the United States and the territories. There are an estimated 6,000 of these community health clinics. They provide basic HMO services. They have to provide service to people who need it, whether they have money or not, a low or no income, as I use the phrase. Also, they can't ask them if they're in the country legally. But they're not going to perform cosmetic surgery, sex changes. They will refer them to hospitals that can, you know, do these things or you know, find somebody to pay for it. Excuse me. But, this service has been, this federally funded health service has been around since 1946, the Truman administration. They didn't get national health care, but the thing, they've got a bill through Congress that's still on the books called the Hill-Burton Act. And it was Senator Lester Hill from Alabama and Senator Burton from Ohio. He's not related to the notorious Bill Burtons that came out of California and have made such a mess of the Democratic Party and a lot of other things. But that's been on the books since 1946, and these clinics exist, and there is this myth that people go to the emergency room and get served when it's not an emergency. What happens is if somebody goes to the emergency room with a cold or something that is not an emergency, like a heart attack, about to have a baby or been riddled with bullets or cut up or been in a serious car crash or collapsed on the street or had a stroke, something like that, they're not going to get served at the emergency room. And if they insist that some emergency rooms will charge them the maximum rate, it's over $300, I think, at one hospital here in San Francisco. And they will refer you to a drop-in clinic and go in when the clinic opens at 6:30 or 7 o'clock the next morning. So, and then these community health clinics. So that's an irrefutable fact of American life. These places do exist. I don't know why the media, and that, you know, there's some of these editorial writers and editors who have their own agenda who want a single-payer national health plan. And apparently the polls, all of them, say that Americans do not want the federal government reworking the health system the way Bacchus and Obama and Pelosi and the rest of that left-wing crowd want to do. And also we've seen what happened with the post office and other entities that the government gets involved in. I will get into how some of the countries finance their health coverage for every one of their people. Now, those of you get a chance, it was on last night. This is one of the better things PBS did. They went down to Mexico. Mexico provides a health program for all of its citizens, but there are long lines. But there's an estimated 100,000 Americans who have retired down there, and they can use the health program set up by the Mexican government. Also, Americans who cannot afford to pay for things like hip replacement, some have gone down to Mexico, and some of their doctors are members, they're what we call board certified, and that means that they have been certified and they're genuine and they're not a bunch of quacks by the various medical specialty societies here in the United States. And there's a doctor down there, a Mexican citizen, native, who was board certified by the American, orthopedics, because it's orthopedics. They didn't say, but they did say it was board certified. And Americans have gone down there to get various orthopedic surgery. He specializes in replacing hips. So, and it costs considerably less. But the complaint about a national health plan for poor people is that there are long lines. It's not only in Britain and in Canada. It's also in Mexico. So that's something to think about. You know, before the health care system in this country does need some kind of tinkering with improvement. And these systems always should be reviewed. But to do what these people, the politicians and the propagandists want to do, you know, without thinking this thing out. You know, once they mess this thing up, it's going to be very difficult to straighten it out again. This is typical of, these people who have agenda but little ability and no experience or little experience, if any. So that's something people should think about very carefully, and a lot of people have. We do have some of the best health care in the world, and that's why people come here who can afford to come here. And but the people who can't afford health care in America should not be denied it. And also there's a book out by Lesko, a huge catalog the size of the Manhattan phone book, and he has listed all of these free, virtually free services, medical services that are available. You just got to look it up. If you need a kidney replacement, he's got a resource in there, I think, last time I looked. There are a lot of medical programs that want human guinea pigs. I did it twice. It was quite interesting. And so, you know, they pay you also, and some medical students and college students get involved in these programs and get, you know, they earn their tuition money that way, being a human guinea pig. And, of course, nobody has died as far as I know in more these more recent programs. But, you know, you just got to look around because the resources are there. And, you know, if you don't look, you're not going to find. So we'll be back on Thursday, New Year's Eve, and I hope to have something up on the YouTube site, YouTube Amicus Veritas, AmicusVerites. And we're preparing for an interesting blitz of programs in January and February. Our salute to Australia, a lot of work that I did down there. We'll be mining the audio morsels that are on tape, and then we'll be doing some live interviews. I'm trying to line those up, and hopefully people will show up at the appointed time. And we'll be doing more on exposing the poverty profiteers who have gotten rich while everybody else has suffered and unwittingly funded these people and their lifestyle. And then we'll do more on an update on the vote fraud, which is how some of these corrupt politicians have gotten into office. And they're not only politicians, we have corrupt judges. We're finally seeing more and more of these people being exposed. Incidentally, there was an incident surprisingly reported in the San Francisco Chronicle, which is OPC. Four Oakland, California policemen were killed by this a parolee who was in trouble in and out of prison, and a lawyer contacted his grandmother to try to get the family, that family of the killer, the cop killer, to file a lawsuit and a claim against the city of Oakland. And the grandmother said no, that four cops have been killed by her grandson, and she felt very bad about it, and felt for the family of those four Oakland policemen who were doing their job trying to arrest this guy. And, of course, he died also, and a phrase I used, late and unlamented. But this just goes to show you these ambulance chasers, the what I call hearse chasers, hearse-chasing lawyers, who ought to be disbarred and prosecuted. They have no ethics, and we had this in the Stephen Neri case. We'll get into that. Some things are coming up on that case, the U.S. Navy sailor. It's 14 years now. It's the biggest scandal in the federal judicial and military system. So I want to thank you all for listening. And, of course, you can download this. And if you have some ideas and some topics you're interested in, we're going to be describing on our amicusveritas.org blog the various programs and interests that I have been involved in my long experience in a variety of federal, state, and foreign programs. Excuse me. So thank you all for listening. And this is Peter Paul Verzola working with The New Shadow. And I invite you to our video verite at YouTube Amicus Veritas. So I won't end up with politics and poker. We only use that when we want to musically underscore a point. And we'll have more on General Brigadier Engel and others. Thank you for listening. Mm-hmm.